Zig, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and yes, it has finally happened! John Stamos is here on Very Amusing. Now, because it is John, and John is like a Disney king to anyone who's a fan of this type of stuff, I just want to say hello to anyone who may be listening to Very Amusing for the first time. We are a theme park, Disney, and Universal podcast talking about truly everything that lands within that spectrum. We like to have a good time, and we're so happy you're here. So thank you for listening, and feel free to stick around for future episodes or dive into our archives for, oh gosh, everything from how Butterbeer was made to so much more, to how rides are built, to discussion with the creators of Turning Red. Truly, we talk about all of it here. But this week, we are talking about all of it with none other than John Stamos. So I'm not even going to waste any time up top. We're just going to pause for a quick commercial break, and then we will get right into the swing of things for this very special episode. Stay tuned.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the episode we've all been waiting for. Actor, musician, Disneyland memorabilia owner, my mom's big time crush, and the one and only Uncle Jesse, John Stamos. Now, in this episode and the subsequent second half of our discussion, we will get into topics like The Beach Boys, Haunted Mansion Doom Buggies, and yes, that 90s Full House Disney World TV special, because come on, I'm not going to squander an interview opportunity. But the real takeaway from this is that life is deeply unpredictable. John and I know many semi-mutual friends in the Disney sphere and even in the podcasting world, but this episode came about because one day last year, I sat next to him on an airplane. You never expect to wake up in your childhood home in Chicago, throw on a hideous sweatsuit, because who are you going to see in Chicago? Board a plane back to LA and spend hours in a glorious discussion with your seatmate who happens to share the exact same fandom as you. But indeed, that is how I met John. And the rest is history. History meaning he graciously came on the podcast after he'd assume I'd ghosted him following our in-flight exchange. More on that later. We chatted a few days after we both got back from the inaugural sailing on the Disney Wish cruise ship, which we were both on but somehow never ran into each other. But that said, this episode covers it all. The coolest places he's been at Disney parks, Kokomo, Uncle Jesse encouraging me to have children. It's fun and conversational and all over the place, and I had the best time. But more importantly, you can spend even more time with John after this episode, because the second season of his show Big Shot debuts on Disney Plus October 12th, aka today, if you are listening to this when it comes out. All 10 episodes are dropping at once, so you can catch up on everything going on with Coach Korn, who John plays, the former NCAA basketball coach who is kinda sorta forced to take on a gig at a private girls' high school, coaching their basketball team, and I don't want to spoil any of the strong personalities on the show or the characters, because the girls are stars, they're incredible, every single actor is so good, but I love the cast, I love the storylines, it's all fantastic, and season 2 drops all at once today. It is out now, so be sure to watch. And whatever you do, do not miss part 2 of our Stamos interview next week, when we dive even deeper into Full House, talk about the legacy of Bob Saget, the incredible story of how Big Shot got renewed, and so much more. Both episodes will include some references to special props and items from his incredible collection, which I will be sure to post photos of on social media so we can all enjoy. Also, if you are new here, every interview is edited so you can listen in front of your kids and enjoy with your family. So if you hear any bleeps, for which we use the Star Tours attraction chime because it's more fun, that's why. And with that, please enjoy our long-awaited chat with the one and only, the ultimate Hidden Mickey, John Stamos. John Stamos, welcome to Very Amusing.
Thank you, Carly. And you don't have to yell. You got the job. I've been listening to you. We got to tell everybody. Look, I tease you because you're so smart and so funny. We met on an airplane.
We did. And people have no idea about that story. I've been holding that one close to the vest. Yeah. Oh,
we got to tell that story because I forget. But I just remember you being super smart and super funny. And I said, okay, I'm going to tease her. I've been listening to your podcast. I just listened because I was on that ship too and you ignored me. She's like, I couldn't find you. I was like the unicorn. Everybody was looking for me and you couldn't find me. Everyone else did.
But I wasn't like hunting you down. This wasn't like a scavenger hunt. I just figured we'd bump into each other and it never happened.
Well, yeah, because I hid out in my room the whole time. But
well, then that's why.
But you said, hey, could you do this podcast? You owe me. You promised me on the airplane when you were drinking. And I said, yes. I wasn't drinking.
But I did have you cornered considering we were stuck on the airplane.
We met on an airplane and you could tell that story. And then yes. you cornered me in the cockpit and said, you better do this podcast of mine. But,
I wasn't a terrorist.
I know. I have to say that I think I've only done one Disney. I just kind of stay away from all this was Jeffrey Epstein's. By the way, let's start a GoFundMe and get his name changed, this Jeffrey Epstein, because I love the kid, but come on, you know, it's not, and it just keeps coming up. And the new, he said, oh, my mother likes that name. Well, you know, we can get it changed, right?
He is one of my closest friends, so I stand behind him regardless of the name.
Come
but
on.
He does go by Jeffrey R. Epstein.
That doesn't matter.
The R is a little bit of a like, not that guy, still alive. He's owning the name. I feel like he's reclaiming it.
Well, he's lucky that.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely not getting aired.
Why? You need a little bounce in this.
A little edge? Yeah, you've been listening to the podcast, so that's what we need is more edge.
Yeah. So, well, I got to talk to you about that, too. But so we think, and so I don't normally do these, but you're so smart, and you speak so well, and I read some of your stuff, and you're such an articulate writer, and you have such a great sense of Disney. I don't, believe it or not, but we'll get into that. But I just was excited to do this interview, so thank you for having me.
I'm so grateful, and I appreciate that you framed it that way in your mind after clearly I have forced you on here.
Well, no, I remember, too, giving you my email or whatever, and it's like, did I ever, I never went on that podcast. Did she ever not have got a hold of me? Maybe I blew her out. And then you emailed me. I said, oh, great.
Yeah.
But we emailed, and I said, you asked me to do it. I said, I would love to. And then we both said, hey, we're going to be on the cruise. Okay, I'll see you there. And then, you know, we never talked.
I know, but like you said, you were in your room. I was out. I was doing laps around the ship. I was taking photos of everything.
Now, I just listened to your whole ship thing. When you bag on the place, do they go, you know, Carly, enough for the free tickets? So, you know, I mean, do you ever get these calls? I mean, I know you want to be authentic to your audience, and I know you don't want to sugarcoat it too much. But do you ever get calls from Disney going, you know, we gave you a free thing there?
So what I will say is that. There is a possibility of being blacklisted or being banned from things always. And that how do I put this without incriminating myself? If it does happen, if you are on the outs, you're usually not told. It's just you don't get invited to something in the future.
Well, but that's telling you. So, you know, like, wait a minute, there's a new thing and I didn't get invited.
To me, the most important thing is that you have to be as enthusiastic about when you're praising the company as when you're critiquing it. Because if you're not, then people don't know what to believe. There's people who only say positive things. There's people who only say negative things. So people know that I'm not going to lie to them. And at this point, like, if Disney isn't going to let me be honest, then I'm not going to, then well, I don't we'll want
to
be there.
We'll go to Knott's Berry Farm, you and I. We'll do a Knott's Berry
Farm. I love Knott's Berry Farm. See, look, I'll be honest. I don't love it.
Knott's Berry Farm?
Yeah, I just want to be at Disney.
I grew up like a mile away from Knott's Berry Farm. But I was obviously a Disney kid. I grew up in Orange County. And so I would go there quite a bit. But Knott's was very close. It was kind of cool back in the old days. But so where were we? No, I think you are very authentic. And you do, you know, the way you talked about the ship was very accurate from my perception. Unfortunately, you know, it was kind of before the paying customer. So there was a lot of stuff that wasn't working. Caitlin would do that too. I was like, we had the greatest time. And I'm not sugarcoating this because, you know, my Disney connection stuff. It was beautiful. And I was on tour with the Beach Boys. I planned this big tour with the Beach Boys in Europe. But I really wanted to take my son, Billy, and Caitlin on one of the cruises. And they said, hey, you know, there's thing come up, and it was a couple of weeks before, and I said okay. So we flew to England and then played in England and played at the Royal Albert Hall, which was greatest thing ever. I know. And then Holland, it was fast, and then we ended up in Paris, and then from Paris we flew back to London to Orlando, like right in the middle of the tour. I was like, see you guys, have fun in Spain. And he was texting that to Jeff Ross. He said, where are you? I said, you know, London, Paris, Orlando. He said no one ever. But I was really glad we did, because it was a magical, I hate to overuse that word, but it was everything that you would think. And Billy loved it, and she loved it. But, someone say, how was it? It was like, well, this wasn't working. And that, I said, we were there for free, and, you know, it will work.
It will work.
It'll work. But I loved what you said about it, because it does feel like, certainly a very new approach to those ships. I think I was on the, what are the ones, Magic and something?
Magic and Wonder are the smaller ones. Dream right. And Fantasy are the larger ones.
I think it was the Dream. I was like, I'm never going on a cruise in my life. I don't care if it's Disney, whatever. Like, I don't want to be stuck, you know. I like meeting people and I'm good like that. But to be, you know, on a cruise with, you know, thousands of people. And Iger said, no, you're coming. I'll take care of you. So I said, okay, Bob. And where is
when
he
Bob now? Summons you, you go.
Yeah, you go. He was great. We could talk about it. He's an old friend from the ABC days. He was the president of ABC, you know. And I remember going in his office going, when I was on Full House, I don't have enough lines, Bob. I need more. Jesse needs to talk more. I need to play guitar. And, you know, he's like, okay, John. Yeah, okay, very good. So where was I? But the way they talked about the ship being different and expansive, did you notice the colors were brighter? Like just the aesthetic of it? And I just thought it was magnificent.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the ship was really well done. And now I was kind of like, oh, I'm itching to go back on a cruise. Because you said, it wasn't the full experience, especially because it was so media focused that there weren't characters before every meal just in the lobby. Like there weren't the regular.
They were thing. All over the place. I passed Mickey Mouse 17 times.
You did?
Yes.
Maybe it was just characters like three times.
Maybe they were just hanging around my room or something. Yeah. I had this beautiful room. They were so kind to put us in there. And then there was another.
What kind of room does John Stamos get on the Disney?
It was small. I had to go outside to change my mind. That's how. No. But it was one of the nice rooms. And then there was another like a sister room just like it on the other side of the ship. And that one you may have gotten. That one was open for like an open house. And of course, ours wasn't. But people kept thinking that the open house was at my room, and they were just walking into the room, going, "Oh, hey, is this the open house? Hi, John Stamos. What are you doing here? This is my room. Oh, sorry. You know what I'm talking about? Did you go to see that? Open
yes,
house?
I went on one of the tours, but I went on the Aurora Suite tour, which I don't. Were you in? Were you in a room with a spiral staircase?
Yeah, you probably went in my room.
Wow,
it was you.
I did not show up to your room because then we would have actually seen each other. Yeah, I went to an empty one.
But maybe I was out. You know?
Yeah, maybe
it wasn't the Aurora Suite. It was
a funnel suite. No, funnel. There's only one.
Funnel cake suite.
No, there's a suite inside the funnel. It's the first time they've ever done it on Disney.
What's a funnel?
Like the smokestack type of thing.
Oh, really?
On the ship.
Like towards? No, it wasn't that. I don't think it was. And you were right. I was lost all the time. I mean, thank God I had people around.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little confused, but there are signs. But it was crazy because you could walk down a hallway and go, there's no restaurant down here. And then you make a left and there's this big, beautiful, you know, Be Our Guest restaurant or something. And it was, it was really something special. What would
I heard you...
you
became like mayor of Palo.
Palo was one of those. I just had a nice, beautiful dinner. And Jeffrey was, is that what you're saying? Because Jeffrey Epstein was there with...
Yes. A bunch of people I knew were at Palo that night. I went to Enchanté. I went to the fancy one.
We went there the night before, and I think I still have to go back for a few more courses because there was, I mean, it just takes a long time, and there was about 18 courses. I was like, I'm not this fancy. I'm not really.
It was fancy, and I was kind of like, you didn't even round down for the fact that we are currently on a cruise ship and just left Disney Island. Like, it was fancy.
It was beautiful. It's beautiful. Caitlin loves to go to like Albert and Sydney's or whatever it's called at the Grand Floridian.
Victoria and Albert's.
Albert, Prince Albert, and I actually said I was doing the. Am I talking too much?
That's the whole point of this.
Oh yes, thanks. I was doing the. You're really funny, and you have a good. You have great timing, and you should be. You should do voiceovers because you talk like this sometimes, and it's very.
Listen, if a professional actor is telling me to do voiceovers, that's
let's do it.
That's the only push I need.
Yeah, that's all you need.
I'd love to be in a Minions movie. Like, set it up.
That's not Disney.
I know, but I can still love a Minion.
I took Billy a Minion. I have a friend named, I have an actress friend I work with named Linda Cardellini, and she talks like that too. Hi, John.
Oh my God, you're comparing me to Linda?
That's good, isn't it?
It's extremely flattering.
Yeah, flattering. What is that voice? What is that voice from? That sounds like that,
I think my voice is a Midwesterner in denial.
You think so? It's cool.
Just trying not to say Malk.
Where were we?
Lord knows.
The thing. People were fine. Paolo, the Enchanté, fancy. Paolo was
fancy.
Great.
Oh, Caitlin likes to go to Victoria and Albert's.
Caitlin, because she loves to eat. And yeah. I don't. And she's the more she eats, the skinnier she gets, right? And she likes these courses and things. And I'm just like, let's just get a quick. That's why Paolo was really quite good, too. But they were both great. We had two date nights.
That's so nice.
So I was with your friends, and then I was walking out. Someone showed me yesterday on some TikTok where it was like millions of people. I think I just walked up to a table. Someone wanted to take a picture, and I just started asking if they. I just pretended like I was their waiter. You know,
just cause you're in the mood.
Yeah, like I love to throw. You know, do something different. My whole life I wanted to be famous. I swear to God, and luckily I had a.
Haven't you been famous your whole life?
Pretty much. Well, I mean, before I became, I wasn't famous. I was famous around 18 or 19, but before that, that's all I wanted. I wasn't even about acting or the craft. Or I was like, I want to be famous. And now I think I enjoyed the acting part of it. But people say, "Oh, don't you hate people coming up to you?" I'm like, "No, I don't. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that they still care about me." So I had fun in that restaurant too.
I heard stories from people being like, John came by our table and it was a hoot.
Yeah. Yes, lovely. Who is that? I'm going to figure out who that sounds like by the end of this thing. Your voice.
Who sound like?
Well, you sound great right there, but sometimes you go like this. Hi.
Oh my God. Like I've never thought about it. If you think I could have a career in voiceovers and cartoons, I'm doing it.
I think you're so smart you could have a career in anything. And I'm not kidding. You're very, very engaging.
This is so nice of you. I think people need to understand that you truly met me at my lowest moment.
Okay, let's talk about that. Lowest moment.
Okay, so John and I met on a flight from Chicago to LA.
Oh yeah, so I was by myself, right?
You were by yourself. I don't know why I was in such a scattered state, but I was like, screw it, I'm flying first class home. Because usually I kind of like being a little bug in a tiny seat in coach. And I was like, nah, I'm flying first class this time. Yeah. And so
why were you in Chicago?
I was in Chicago visiting my family.
Me too. I was visiting your family. Why was I there?
My mom wishes, honestly. You were there because you were playing with the Beach Boys at Ravinia.
Right.
I went on the plane and it was one of those flights where I was exhausted. I think it was because it might have been because we were just briefed about. Oh, no, that's what it was. I had gone to my old overnight camp for a reunion thing. So I was sleeping in an overnight camp bed. Not the best accommodations, but I loved it. And was on my way back from that and was just as haggard as one could be, wearing compression socks, wearing sweatpants, just a full-blown hobo.
Yeah, and but you had you had a cool Mickey shirt. That's what I noticed. You had a cool little vintage Mickey shirt.
Yes, I had
a
Disney, I think I had a Disney shirt or sweatshirt on.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just agreeing.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
But I just remember, I remember hopping over a person to get to my seat because I had this ducky bowl. It was this, ceramic bowl of ducks.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a family. Yes.
Yeah. I remember. Yes. Yeah. And it's my grandma's, it was from my grandma. And I was this is the trip I'm bringing it home. It's my most precious thing. Yeah. And so I had, had this gigantic backpack, a big old dork. And I remember sitting down and being like, oh.
What?
I didn't think I was going to see anyone. And then I'm like, oh, the other huge Disney fan on this flight just happens to be sitting next to me.
For the first hour, you didn't even look at me. You weren't talking. You didn't think. And then
I didn't realize it was you for a while.
You just said you just got nervous because you thought it was. Anyway, and I saw that you had the Mickey shirt. I said, I was like, she's from Disney. I'm going to impress this girl with all my Disney knowledge and my crap that I stole from the parks. And then you were like, oh, yeah, hi. Well, I write. And I'm a college graduate. I said, oh, shoot. Yeah. And then we jabbered for 4 hours, huh?
Yeah, truly for the entire flight, to the point where I think I caught, because again, you got to remember, like, I looked like I was wearing the last outfit I owned. Like, it was not good.
I didn't notice that.
No, it was bad. And I remember seeing some woman across the aisle from us look at us and be like, is this man in danger talking to this woman for so long?
No. I do remember, I think a stewardess did say, like, is she bothering you? I'm like, no.
I'm sure, because they were like, because that's, you know, whenever you see, like, a stranger talking to a notable person, it's like, oh, no. God, we got to save him from this. Little did they know that we were going deep into, like, Disney memorabilia.
I'm sure I was bugging you more than, wait. It was great, and I was happy to meet you. But then I didn't hear from you for, like, a year, so I thought, oh, well, I guess I wasn't that impressive.
Listen, we're busy here. We had to make time for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you know that feeling that everyone knows something that you don't? For me, that used to be Quince, but no more. Quince is a truly astounding retailer, essentially carrying everything a person on your mood board would wear. We're talking washable silk blouses, chic leather bags, 14-karat gold jewelry, European linen dresses, and the best part of all is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They're up here with $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters. $50! Beautiful, timeless items you can wear and actually live in. Meaning, you don't have to be scared to bring them on your theme park travels. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you're sensitive to retailers like I am, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. But it's not just your everyday work-life clothes. They have everything. I recently joined a new gym, big deal for me, and desperately needed new workout clothes to wear there. It's kind of like an LA gym. Like, you kind of got to look cute. So I ordered a pair of their Ultraform bike shorts and high-rise pocket leggings. And when I tell you, the quality of these leggings is truly on par with brands I paid 3 times as much for, which really kind of makes me love these 3 times more. I'm not only going to buy them again, but actually buy the other travel stuff in my cart, because they have things like beautiful pastel suitcases for $129 and these wildly affordable compression packing cubes that I have been waiting forever to buy compression packing cubes, and they're always so pricey, and here, the price fits. So if you want to get ready for work, your new gym, travel, anything in your life, go to Quince. Quince.com/amusing will get you free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Ooh, that's nice for someone who puts stuff off like I do. That's Quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Listen, so you talked about, we just have to talk about Disney mainly on this thing, or is it, well, anyway.
Well, we can, We can talk. I mean, we can talk about anything you want, but okay. Mostly we are theme park fans. We are Disney fans, and you are. I don't think you understand that. Like you say, you don't know much about Disney, but you're King Disney to us.
Well, I don't know about that, but here's
you
the
don't
deal.
Have so, that big D in your house and not claim the title of King Disney.
What are you talking about, big D? Oh, the sign. I thought you were good.
What are you talking about? Oh, just the gigantic letter in my house.
That's not in my house. And I have the whole sign, by the way, not just the D.
You have the whole sign?
Yeah. Everybody thinks I just have the D. We'll talk about that in a second. I wanted to say that you were saying the ship going from the ship to the parks was so luxurious and everything was taken care of and blah, blah. And then you go to the parks and it was a rougher experience and they need to fix it up because what would you, I don't disagree with you 100%, by the way, but I think it seems like they do spend a lot of time making those cruise ships. Maybe they were just so busy doing that, but they should implement some of the stuff they're doing over there to the parks. Now, I have full disclosure. Like, I am no one to talk about a normal day at Disney World or Land or anything because I am so grateful that I get the treatment that I do. I mean, if you would have told me when I was a kid, like standing in line in the Matterhorn at Disneyland with my dad's, you know, members only jacket, acne on my face, and I was wearing its cologne and, you know, trying to pick up girls, and I was such a dork. If you would have told me that one day I'd be, you know, I would have the Disneyland, the sign that's out in front there on Harbor Boulevard is going to be in your backyard and you're not going to have to wait in line and you're going to talk to Carly on her big podcast.
That ranks up there for sure.
But I'm getting to that I am so grateful and I can't believe the incredible things that I get to do in life. One of the biggest ones is just that being able to go to Disney, you know. Because as a kid, it was once a year, and you could just wait, and we would save up our money. When I first started going too, back in the 40s, or whenever it was, it was $5 for general admission, right? You could go, I would save my lunch money, and then I would just general admission. When we had saved up tickets, and I danced to Papa Do Run Run. There was a very famous band there who I just loved and became really good friends with all of them. They really turned me on to the Beach Boys because they played surf music and stuff. But I just can't believe the stuff I get to do. So I don't listen to what I have to say, I'm just giving you a magic. You're now vice president of the whole thing. How would you make it better? Because Caitlin likes to tell me all the things that she how she would do it.
Well, I don't know if I'm the best person to fix it, but I think what it all comes down to for me is that the Walt Disney Company is perhaps the largest entertainment conglomerate in the world, and yet none of their technology works. It doesn't function.
Like what?
The app. Anything that's online trying to make reservations,
really?
It's every system breaks. It's because they have all of these individual systems that are trying to work together,
okay.
And they simply don't.
Okay.
So if I was in charge, it's less like how I would change the Genie Plus structure. It's more that I would dump as much money as necessary into the back end technology because that would actually fix the guest experience.
My buddy Tom Staggs, I think, started that whole the key thing. And I know that
Magic
wasn't
Band.
Super successful. Did that crap that up?
Magic when they Band, switched from... I think it works pretty well, but now, just because we're so cell phone oriented, that the app has replaced that, but the app doesn't always work well.
But the app, I think, eventually will open doors and everything too. Does it now?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it does, I'd say sometimes, if it's working.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe that technology got in the way of, like, because right away the cell phone started to replace the little band and everything, right?
Yeah, so but the tech is straight up bad.
Really? I never noticed that, but.
So, I go to Disney all the time.
Yeah.
And so anytime I've ever done anything, it leaves this scratch on my account. So sometimes I'll go to the front desk at the hotel and my account won't load because there's so much stuff on it.
What do you mean, scratch?
Oh. Like every Magic Band I've ever been given with a hotel room, every reservation I've ever made, like when you frequent Disney World a lot, your account is weighed down because there's so much like
cachet
junk in your account.
Well, clean it out.
They can't.
You can't either?
No, nobody can. So it's stuff like that where like the tech doesn't operate the way normal tech would.
Right. But, right, okay.
So it's
but
a mess.
I still do think that, and I know people have to save years to go there, I would think. But I do feel like, and I watch people. I love to see how people are having fun and what they're digging. And why are you laughing at me?
Because in my head, I'm like, John, we're not having fun anymore.
Oh, you and me right now?
No, we're great.
Oh, you mean
when
the
you
parks?
Go to the park, you no, gotta wake up at 7 a.m. every right. day to book with the new version of FastPass.
I saw a lot of happy faces. People were. I still think that you when you go through those gates. I'm a Disney man now. You can tell when you go through those gates. But it's true that it really the rest of the world does go away. And you know what I loved about the ships, and I think they're you know it's sort of that way at the parks. And you're immersed any view. You look, you see something colorful and beautiful and happy. And, you know, I wouldn't be the person I am without going to Disneyland all the time. I mean, it's shaped who I am, my creativity, what kind of art, you know. So maybe the technology can be better. I haven't noticed that. And it's not like I don't use it. Well, I don't know if I use it.
Well, okay. I'm just going to be straight up with you because we're honest people. I assume when you're going, you are on a VIP tour.
Yeah, I said that already. Don't listen to anything I have to say. But I do, you know, Caitlin uses the app, and I've used the app, I think, and it's, you know, she complains about something, but anyway, if that's an issue. So, okay, so the app, you want to fix the app.
So, like, a tip, I mean, that's what I do to fix it, but right now, like, the way the policies are set up is that right now, if you go to Disney World, you're on a regular family vacation, mm-hmm. you have to wake up at 7 a.m. every day, and sometimes stay up till midnight to buy Genie Plus. So that you can reserve rides in time at 7 a.m. every single day.
Do you pay for Genie Plus?
So, like, we're coming from California. That's 4 a.m. in our bodies that we have to wake up every day of our trip.
Every day of our trip. Kate, I'm not making fun of you. Your listeners are going
to
be like, what?
Well, it's fine because you're going to have to link me up with your agent so that I can do voiceovers. So thank you in advance.
Caitlin doesn't care. Jet lag. I've never seen anyone love Disney. Before I met her, I was kind of like, okay, you know, I've done the Disney thing enough already. I got to move into Netflix and get, you know, deeper with my career. I've been to the parks enough. I'd let other people go and have a good time. No way. When we met, it was like, full on Disney. So she gets up. She'll get up if we're down there, if she's down there, she'll get up early to get in for the hour before or whatever.
Isn't
there like
you
go like and run around and stuff?
Yeah.
So, yes, it's hard. So you buy a Genie app? Is that a Genie Pass?
So you have to spend, it's a Disney World and Disneyland, but at Disney World, you spend $15 per person per day, and you can no longer buy it in advance because it's booking Fast Pass through the app the day of.
But it costs money.
It costs money, and you have to buy it now because you can't buy it in advance because they were going so quickly, the return time. So now you have to buy it at midnight or at 7 a.m. when you start booking, but if you buy it at 7 a.m., you're already behind. And at 7 a.m., you're also buying this thing called individual lightning lanes, which is also a separate fast pass return time. Yeah. And then I guess your body's rejecting it. And then on top of that, if you want to go on Cosmic Rewind, you have to book a virtual queue at 7 a.m. If you're like, it's too many things at once. And
it's
sometimes if you're
staying
on property, sometimes if not. Like, I can't even remember all of it off the top of my head sometimes. And that's not a good sign.
It seems like a casual
guest can't deal with that.
Right. No, I get it. I mean, I get it. I think that, but you know, I do know that, well, I don't know. I don't know anything really.
That's not true.
I know some stuff, but I do think that's a drag. I mean, I remember there was a time when it was like, there was no fast pass. There was no back. They wanted every, you know, customer, every person in there to feel like they're just as important as anybody. So there was none of that. And they kind of sort of caved to it, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Like paying for a fast pass?
Paying for it. But also my whole thing is that it can be more expensive. I get that. I get that they're, you know, they have to do right by their
stockholders.
Yeah,
but that's not fair, is it? Oh, yeah, that part. Okay.
But it's more expensive and more difficult. Right. And so if you're paying more money, like with the VIP tour, you pay more money for convenience. Now you're just paying more money and it sucks more.
has Josh DeMauro, anybody come on here? Have you talked to anyone?
No, but if I was him, I would not do that because it's not going to be pretty.
Really?
Because I have a lot of honest thoughts that I don't think are.
But if I was him, and I am in a wig, I would want to know from someone like, I'm, you know, here's a guy, and I love him, and I think he's going to really go far in that company. He was out here at Disneyland for a little while, and then he shot up. Very nice man, and loves the parks, loves the cast members. And so I think, and he walks around asking people in the parks, and certainly the cast members, like, what can we do better? So I bet he wouldn't, I think he would like to hear some of the stuff. I'll tell him to listen to it, or I'll just play it for him and I'll follow him around. Okay, here they go. You tell me what you, in a constructive way, what should I talk to him about? Or tell him that the real fans have issues with.
My main concern with the parks is that if you are going to go out of your way to charge people for something that used to be free, for a product that works the same way it did when it was free, You can't have it also be more difficult to book and more difficult to use.
And charge money for it, yeah. Well, maybe they're working out the kinks.
They're trying, but again, it all comes back to the tech. Like, it's not, it's just not working.
I know how to solve this. I can fix this right now. Let me get a hold of the man. Hello.
What?
Walt?
Okay, what? John,
this is...
What is this phone?
Well, I'll show you. Do you remember this famous photo session? I can't remember what magazine it was from. That's...
Yes.
That's
in Walt's apartment, right?
Right. And you see that phone he's holding?
Yes. You just casually have that in your home?
Yes. Yeah, I did. Yes. Isn't it cool?
I'm so excited for the John Stamos show and tell hour.
Yeah, I'm like Carrot Top of Disney guy.
Yeah.
I got a lot more stuff. But this, I think, none of people... I feel like I've talked about having this, but it doesn't seem like anyone really got too excited about it. But this may be the coolest thing.
Yeah, that's because it's historical and a special Disney thing.
Yeah, this was in his apartment above the fire station.
Yeah.
Right? And there's the phone number, 714-533-4456. And this is it, man. I since the advent of the internet and, you know, these online... you know, auctions, I hadn't bought a lot of stuff from that. But this one I ponied up for. And I don't think people realize, like, what it was. It was in one of Van Eaton's auctions. And it's fun. And so I hit up the archives people, and they're like, we don't know. That could not be. And then, about a week later, I got emails. You know, we don't know how that got out of the park. You know, so it was legit. And then it's pretty cool. You know, back in, I can't remember the year, maybe you know because you're a historian, but when eBay started, the first auction was the Disney auction. I don't know if it was Pressler or who was running things back then, but it was like, let's get rid of all this crap. We got warehouses of stuff. We don't need it. And they had, do you remember this? You're probably too young. They had this auction, and it was the beginning of eBay. And the first thing they did was this Disney auction. And the big first thing was the sign that was out in front of Disneyland on Harbor Boulevard. And I saw it, and Michael Jackson wanted it, and it was supposed to go for $1 million. And I said, I'll just put in the opening bid, which was like 36 grand or something. And I forgot about it. And then about like a week later, whatever the auction went, I said, let me go see what's happening. Oh, no, I'm the winner. And it was like an hour left. I was like, I'm the winner. I kept refresh. I called my business manager. I said, I think I'm going to get this sign. Yeah, $32,000. It's like 14 inches by 8. No. 14 feet by, I was like, oh my God. And then I was like, I won. And, you know, I think nobody really knew what was going on. And then, and so anyway, they auctioned off a lot of great stuff, you know, for very, very little. And I think later on in the years with this Van Eaton who was right down the street, I walked into his place, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, like, what are you doing here, man? You know, auctioning off, I think the whole world realized, oh, wait, you could buy Disney stuff? And, you know, and the prices went, everything just went sky high. And now they've put a clamp on everything. They're not letting anything out.
Are you still actively collecting, or are you kind of content with what you got?
I'm content. And I you know, the only thing I really ever wanted was a Doom Buggy. And they were kind of hard to get. And then, like I said, now everything's so expensive, and it doesn't feel right spending, you know, that money.
You never got a Doom Buggy?
I never got one. So, Josh was always saying, you know, here, I want to do this. I want to put the sign. I want to put your sign behind Space Mountain, and I'm create like a cast member area where they can go and take pictures of it. And I'll have, you know, foods, and it'll be a rest, you know, thing for the cast members. I was like, great. Yeah. You want me to just give it? Yeah. Well, it's for the cast members. I was like, I don't know. I'm not going to. So that kind of fell apart. And then I was at the, hosted the Cirque du Soleil, the reopening of the draw, the
beautiful... Oh, Drawn to Life. Yeah, it's at Disney World.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have. I loved it.
It's beautiful, yeah. And Xenia was there, who was Bob's right-hand woman, who, you know, was really took care of a lot of business for him over the years, and she was really cool to me. And they had like another month, and I said, oh, man, before you go, man, I need it. I'm trying to get this Doom Buggy. And she said, oh, they're not letting anything out anymore. You have to sign the gym, blah, blah, blah. I said, all right. She goes, but I'll get it for you. Okay. So then Josh comes over, and she goes, and she didn't even know what to say. What's a Doom Buggy? And Josh comes over, and she says, by the way, I know you guys are all like Disney fans out there. If I sound like a bougie, you know,
no,
stop
this
me.
Is why we love you, because we're all like, right. This dude's got a whole Disney museum in his house. Tell us stories.
I really don't, but I'm dropping all these names like an idiot. But
not at all.
Okay, all right. Please, people out there. I'm just like you. I'm a Disney geek from the start, and I love talking. That's like what I saw you. It was so fun. So so Josh comes over and she says, he wants a dune buggy. Oh, and then he's like, well, whatever, what about that sign? I said, okay, here's the deal. I'll loan you the sign for as many, 20 years, 25, whatever you want to do. Because I have a kid now and someday I'd like him to have that. And you give me a dune buggy. Oh, okay. Shook hands. Then they started sending me these pictures of these dune buggies that were, you want this one? They're all brand new, right? What number do you want? And then they said, oh, by the way, we have to own it. We can't just borrow it from you. So here's a dune buggy for this. I said, are you out of your mind? This is the original sign. You have 800. Anyway, so that deal fell through, and that's okay.
I appreciate that you stood your ground.
Yes. Look at this. This is a pirate head from the early. And again, like I just had friends. It was a weird thing to collect. I mean, it was, you know, 20 years ago, there's a guy named Phil Sears who actually gave me this for my birthday. He's a guy who, he's the expert on Walt's signature.
Oh, my God. He gave me this for my birthday. It's just a pirate head.
It's a real pirate. It's from the thing. That's been something that I really loved. What else do you want to see? I have some really cool. I thought this was. I like weird stuff. This is a a ticket from the first. Day International Press. You would have been there if you were. It was 1955.
I would have, except that I don't think women were allowed to. Oh, at that time.
That's terrible.
But hypothetically.
But this is a what is this? Like a opening day.
Yeah, like the press invite to Disneyland. Yeah.
You see the signature on there? It's Richard M. Nixon. Isn't that weird?
What?
Yeah. Do you remember, there's a famous picture of him standing in the Snow White cart that said Dumbo, and he's like standing in it. I have a Snow White.
I've seen a recreation of that press invite, but never the real one. Yeah.
Come over. Where do you live? Where are you at? In L.A.?
I'm in West Hollywood.
And no kids? What's with the kids? We got to talk to, where's the husband?
No kids. Eventually. Just want to like live my life like a rumspringa, okay. Just really want to like have as much fun as possible.
Yeah, I did that. It was easier because
Do you regret that? Is there any advice that I should
take?
Well,
unfortunately, it's just, you have a clicking, a time thing, which is kind of it's not fair. It's just not fair. But I mean, I was the Peter Pan syndrome, till the day I sobered up. I mean, I went into adulthood kicking and screaming. I didn't want to. Who wants to be an adult? It's too much. So, but you eventually do have to do that. And my lifelong dream was to have a child, and I have a beautiful one. Thanks to my wife, who's, I didn't deserve someone like her for the longest time. I dealt with issues in life, divorce and death, my parents dying, and I didn't deal with it properly, early on, and I got to, addiction, took over. So about 7 years ago, almost 7 years ago in June, I straightened up, and then, the universe said, okay, we'll grant you a few more wishes here, and Caitlin came into my life, and, it's been beautiful ever since. Okay, so you tell me first, though. What's the, what?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, I'm ready. I'm prepared.
What's the one? Name something or a couple things that you. What's your dream thing to do at one of the parks? Like, if you could do anything you want, and don't say streak down Main Street because that's not cool.
I really, I don't think I've thought much about it. But one thing I would want to do, which you've almost done it, is that I would love to scuba dive next to Scuba Mickey in the Living Seas. And I know you scuba dove at Living Seas in that Full House episode. But I want to do it with Scuba Mickey.
I think was Scuba Mickey. No, maybe not. They didn't. I did it with Scuba. Dave Coulier. That was, he's kind of like Mickey.
Yeah, that's close. It's almost good. Do you remember doing that episode at all? Because I don't know if you know how iconic it is for people my age.
I do remember it, and I remember it very fondly because, I think it was one of the first times that we really had special treatment. It was the first time I had a guide, this guy, Rob Highfill, I remember. And I got to bring my parents and my sisters, and it was like maybe one of them. My dad died, like 5 or 6. But I think it was the last time we ever went to Disney or Disney World. So that was very, very special to me. And I have beautiful pictures and memories. And Lori Loughlin and her mom and dad came. And I think her dad passed away. What are you laughing?
Oh, no, that's
Bob,
so sweet.
Bob, we can talk about him. But we, Bob and I, we all spent. It was just a beautiful trip. So, yes. And, getting to play in front of the castle. Do you remember at the end of it was like we did A Dream Is a Wish Your Heart Makes? And, I said, I want fireworks. I said, oh, okay. And let me see. As I play the song, I want a string section. Okay. And how about a choir? Oh, sure, John. It was like that. And then I remember showing up to shoot that. It was kind of at night. And they invited all, you know, as many cast members that wanted to come. It was like thousands. And they were it was so great. It was just one of those magical nights that I'll never forget. Mike Love happened to be, from the Beach Boys, was doing a show at somewhere around there. It wasn't the Beach, but and he came over and said hi. It was really special. What else was that? That was cool, huh? I sang in the Grand Floridian, right?
Yes. So it's like the Grand Floridian for millennials like me, like we were, I think, introduced to it in a very specific way through that episode where now like it's tied, it's fused together.
What
for
about
all
Kokomo?
Eternity.
Now, see, we were on tour. We did a, they recorded Kokomo about a year or so before. It was, we were playing it live in the show and it was like the, I call it, it was like the bathroom song where it's like, you know, we start playing Kokomo and like, you know, thousands of people all at once stand up and go to the bathroom or get a beer, you know, whatever. And then we were doing, they were doing a special, they were doing a special for ABC with the Fat Boys and they recorded Wipeout. And so we were, the first guests at, we were the, like the guinea pigs at this Grand Floridian. They were trying out recipes. We want a gator on a bun? No, thanks. They were trying out recipes and trying keys and things. And then we shot that at that little fake beach down there. And we were doing the special, but then they said, well, it's starting to rain. Can we do a couple passes on Kokomo? We're just going to line up two, you know, cameras and we maybe played through it once or twice. I think the thing I think most of is like, what was I thinking wearing a fuchsia tank top? Oh my God.
But I feel like you've never actually looked bad. Like you've never looked bad.
Well, yes, I have. What do you mean? You don't need to butter me up.
I don't, because you're not like a normal person. You're like, you're not rolling onto a plane in compression socks and crawling
over
your neighbor.
Well, I don't know what compression socks are, but I didn't see your socks.
This is what I'm talking about.
I think I do. What are compression socks? Oh, because you swell up in the plane?
Yeah, because you want like,
is your
blood
husband
to
home?
Yeah, he's
what's he
doing?
What's
work
his name? I think you told me on the plane.
He works A&R. Or actually, no, he now is the general manager
no
of
kidding.
A record label.
What record label?
Yeah.
Did we talk about it on
It's called
yeah,
Mercury.
No,
they're
that's
through
so
Republic
cool.
Records.
All right.
Yeah, they just like rebooted
right, good
Mercury.
For him. And should we talk to him about having a kid? Do we want to get him in here and talk about a child? You got to have a kid. You got
to
have a kid because seeing your kid, like you've done, you know, a lot at Disney and I have too, like, going with him is a whole other, you know, it's through his eyes.
Is it better or is
oh
it
oh my
a
God, what
worse?
Do you mean? It's better to watch him see that stuff for the first time. You know, what are you laughing at?
Because I'm like, you know, I'm kind of there for me. So I'm a little concerned that if I bring a kid.
Yeah, but for how many years? How many years?
Seven.
Seven? Okay, well, that's enough. Let's let other people come around. Look who it is. Look who comes in. I've just been talking.
Hi!
No see.
This is Kate.
I know. No lie. We were truly just talking about how great you are.
You know how everyone, not me as much, but you know how everyone knew that she was perfect for me? So the first time we went, it was one of our first dates. We went to Disney World, right? I mean,
that was how he got me, hooked me in the first place. He found me on Instagram. He stalked me on Instagram.
No. We met.
Oh, I feel like her story's accurate.
No,
and
where
you're
did we meet?
To
we didn't
it.
Meet on Instagram.
No, we met a while. No, we met a long time before.
We were
that.
Doing an episode. I was doing an episode of Love. What was it called?
Law and Order SVU.
Law and Order SVU. And I was playing this character who was so egotistical, he wanted to spread his progeny everywhere. And I had 47 children. And she was there. And then the door knocks and she opens it and it's Ice-T and the other guys. And she's like, he's in there. And then they kick the door down. What are you doing there, guy? You're poking the roll.
Well, it was, many years later we actually dated. That was just working. But yeah, when we actually started dating, he stalked me on Instagram.
No, I didn't. So she was a Disney fan. She said, oh, I want to. And it was like, we just met. And I go, hey, you want to go to Disney World? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. And then so we went. And then I thought, you know, I wear a hat and glasses and things. And then, but I'm like, I got to impress this girl. So I sort of like, we were at Epcot. I sort of like took the glasses off and nobody's recognizing. I'm walking around a little bit. She's, you know, she's whatever. And then my hair, it's hot, isn't it? I'm going to take my hat off because, you know, my hair is very famous. You know? So I've been thinking, and then like nobody was, and I'm literally like doing, making eye contact with people. Have mercy. Hey, let's get some popcorn. Have mercy.
You know, I'm doing, so loud.
I'm doing catchphrases. And she's like, stop it. I said, stop what? She goes, You're Epcotting, aren't you? So you're trying to get recognized to impress me. It doesn't impress me.
Like peacocking, Epcotting. So now it's a term.
Oh, yes.
She busted me on Epcotting, and it's been great ever since.
See, this is why everyone likes her. She keeps it real.
She's an angel.
We love her.
You know, I've been bragging about her since we started.
Anyway, I guess I should leave here. This is
my love.
She has other things, but
She was, you know, I'm proud of her too, because she started a podcast and she could have done it about any, like, you know, modeling or nails or food or whatever. And she did it. It's called How Can I Help? And she just highlights people that are doing great things in the world. And not just that, like, she's a month or two ago, she's like, okay, bye. I said, what do you have on the schedule? I'm going to Tijuana. What? I'm going to Tijuana to help the homeless kids. I'm like, with who? Where do you have security? You know, and it was a thing. And she's been there twice. She's not afraid to get out there and get her hands dirty. And she's, I'm so proud of her. But her podcast is How Can I Help? And it's really sweet. We've gone way off track. So where are we?
Wait, is there anything you want to do that you haven't done yet? Because you've kind of done it all.
I've done a lot of really cool things. But you know what I would do? I would go back to, I would love to, well, this doesn't answer the question, but I used to love to go there in the afternoon and just sit and watch people and have a bite to eat with my best friend, Mike, who we used to love. But now it's just so, it's a little crowded and just can't do that much anymore. But it's for the afternoon, you just walk around and go to the magic shop. It's not there anymore. And just eat and stuff. And because, you know, I still am a real fan. I love to look at every little detail and stuff, but it just gets harder. I also thought for a while that it's like, okay, enough. Like I talk about it a lot on talk shows, whatever, and people find that interesting, the collection and stuff. But I thought enough about Disney. Nobody's taking me serious. You don't see big actors. So. And then I went to dinner with maybe one of the biggest movie star guys on the planet. Very, I'm not going to say who it was, very like a huge movie star and sexy and, you know, considered, you know. And he was the biggest Disney geek. And we just geeked out on Disney for like 2 hours at dinner. And we talked about, he would go there and do all these crazy things by himself. He would go by himself. I go, how do you go by yours? He had hat and glasses and he would wear headphones and he had a music mix for every different ride. So I go, oh, okay, well, then I can talk about Disney if this guy does.
Yeah, and we all appreciate it because, I mean, as far as we know, you're the biggest Disney celebrity until you reveal who that person is.
Yeah, I don't think he goes as much as me anymore, but he was there. There's a lot of us out there, I think, right? And, you know, especially Caitlin does too, and I do. We're walking through the park or when I just meet it, I immediately click with that person. I don't care who, what. I'll sit and talk to someone for an hour. She'll really go on. We love it when we find, you know, nerds like us. And you're one of them.
I feel like you're embracing your Disney-ness once again.
You know what? I don't give a F anymore. I'm older. I have everything in my life is beautiful. I have the greatest, you know, luck and love in my life. I just have too much. And I don't, this is who I am. And if you don't like it, then.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Hey, Carly, this is Courtney calling from Washington, D.C., and I have a question. I've got an upcoming trip to Disneyland Paris scheduled for mid-November. Very excited. I've never been to any of the overseas Disney parks, so this is me dipping my toe in. I will be traveling with my mom, so it's kind of like a you and Audrey trip. My mom and I actually love traveling to Disney, and it always makes me so happy to hear about you and Audrey traveling together. And so I guess my question is, though, my mom is recovering from a foot surgery, so she's walking with a little bit of a limp, and we were actually just at Disney World a couple weeks ago, and so the way that we kind of were able to rest her foot was doing a midday sit-down meal. And while Disney World, there's no shortage of great places to get a meal, either quick service or, you know, indoor dining. And I've heard the rumors about Paris and the food situation. And I've looked at the available reservations for like midday lunch at the restaurants in Disneyland Paris. And then I go and I read the reviews and it seems dire, Carly. I know you've recommended Nanette's outside the park and I've definitely logged that for maybe like a dinner, but inside the park, thinking about how my mom will definitely need to have a good midday break where we just sit for about an hour and a half. Do you have any recommendations? Is there any place that's kind of okay or at least worth it for the atmosphere? Any advice on Disneyland Paris, I would greatly appreciate. Thanks so much. Love the podcast.
Well, unfortunately, the word dire is the correct word because I have eaten my fair share of food at Disneyland Paris. I think I've been there four times, maybe five times at this point. And as you mentioned, Annette's is the only place that hasn't gravely disappointed me. However, Annette's Diner is outside of the park, and because mobility is the name of the game with the restaurant recommendation you're looking for, I'm not going to recommend that during the day to leave the park and come all the way back. I have some recommendations for you, but they come with the caveat that it's not going to be the best meal you've ever had. And I've even been to Waltz, an American restaurant, which is essentially as close as you can get to a Club 33 experience at Disneyland Paris. The restaurant is up above Main Street. It's not a private members club. It's just very expensive. I think the burger I had there was... it was something like $60. Like, it was not okay. The food was still fine. It came with like 9 fries. I've talked about this many times. It's a horrible memory of mine. But I have eaten in enough places where I can kind of steer you through and hopefully give you some recommendation. Now, we'll start at the other park, at Walt Disney Studios Park, because the options get worse from there. But if you are looking for a sit-down restaurant, a way for your mom to take about an hour and a half off, you are probably going to have to accept buffets within that. I know that that involves standing and sitting, which isn't ideal. Maybe you can help her out and grab her some food and bring it back. But when I previously visited, the buffet restaurants I went to they were table service at the time due to COVID-19 regulations, and now I believe they have pivoted back to buffet. So my recommendations are a little because of that, but still, for a true table service restaurant, if you are at Walt Disney Studios Park, I'm going to recommend Bistro Chez Remy, even though it's not very good. You're going to pay a lot of money for ratatouille, which again, we all know is a peasant dish made of vegetables, but for the atmosphere, I'd say, for if you want a sit-down restaurant, if you want to take a load off, and you want a place that's special and themed and Disney, absolutely go there. The theming is great. The food, nothing to write home about, but feeling like you're shrunk down to the size of a little rat and you're surrounded by big things, like everything is big, it's very fun, you sit in chairs that are seemingly made of bottle caps, it's cute. I think for what you're looking for, it is a great option. I am also shockingly hearing great things about Pym Kitchen, which is the version of Pym's test kitchen that we have at Disney California Adventure over there at the new Avengers campus at Walt Disney Studios Park. It is an all-you-can-eat buffet. I've heard the food is good. It looks vaguely similar to what we have here. I'm seeing things like a burger and salad, which honestly, I don't think they can mess those up too bad. At least like, we're again, very low bar. So I would kind of look into that. Again, that is a buffet. As for Disneyland Park, my recommendation was going to be Restaurant Agrabah Cafe, but again, it is now an all-you-can-eat buffet once again. We went when they served a platter of food to your table. The food was doable. My mom has some dietary restrictions. I do not, but we were still both able to eat there, which I feel like is proof that there's enough food to choose from. There's enough to pick and choose from, especially if it's a buffet, because some things we did quite like and some things we didn't like as much. Otherwise, I don't know what the deal is with this Captain Jack's Restaurant de Pirates, but if I had to choose something, I would probably choose that for a true table service restaurant, or maybe Plaza Gardens Restaurant, which is a buffet. Again, you're kind of choosing, and this is horrible to say, like a lowest common denominator. Like, enter this less as, oh, this is a magical Disney meal, and more like, we need sustenance, we need sitting. And this sounds terrible. I know I sound negative, but I swear the food situation is not good there. I stayed at Disney's Hotel New York, The Art of Marvel. I loved it. The hotel was great, but the food I ate there was garbage. I hope you have a wonderful time. My newest and best tip is to pack sandwiches from Paris if you're leaving from the city. Pack granola bars. Just have snacks on hand because every trip, like clockwork, I always get very, very mad at a family member for absolutely no reason because I desperately need sustenance and I cannot find something that I want or like readily available. So you're going to have the best time. The park is beautiful. The park is incredible. It is so much fun. You and your mom are going to love it. It's a great place to go with a parent, but also pack a protein bar. You're going to need it. Have so much fun and let me know how the dining works out. Pym Pim Kitchen looks pretty good, so hopefully that's an extra option to have in your back pocket. Have a good time!
Hey, Carly, this is Sandy from Gainesville, Florida. I was listening to the most recent update. It's 10-5, so it's the Churros Hotline for Walt Disney World episode. And I had a comment on the changing structure of the Walt Disney World parks. My husband and I are DVC and have been since we were kids. We've always lived really close and we've always gone a lot. Lately, we've started scaling back going because now we are paying for parking. It was always a perk for us. Our friends always wanted to go because we never paid for parking as DVC. Oftentimes, we weren't staying for long trips. We would go down for a weekend or a weekday just to have lunch with people, and it was a benefit for us. Now, it's changed, and with that, a lot of our perks are going away. It's making a lot of DVC members unhappy, and we're definitely pulling back. I know there are a lot of annual pass holders who are pretty unhappy. I think the regulars are slowly becoming more and more upset and looking for other ways like Universal. As the caller before me said, we are going to Universal more. It's technically costing us less. We have friends who live in that area. We can walk there. There are better ways for us to go about doing things now, and it's sad because I've been a Disneyite all my life, and we had a Disney-themed wedding. Anyway, love the podcast. Love to hear your thoughts. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate calls like this because as much as we love theme parks on this podcast, these places are always changing, and some of those changes are small and innocuous, and some of those can really upend the way you visit these parks. Hearing this firsthand account is pretty wild to me, especially because an annual pass is a year-long program. You only buy in for a year and then you choose to renew. But Disney Vacation Club is a long-term contract, and changing something like paying for parking can really affect if you visit the park or not because you've already bought in and continue to buy in. And then having to shell out a non-insignificant amount of money just to go back and use those benefits to be able to visit the park is kind of soul-crushing. It really adds up. As a Californian, listen, parking is a hot-button topic for us. And every time that I weigh using my magic key, I'm kind of like, oh, I gotta pay for parking on top of it. It's an added fee, and it always kind of just brings down the mood a bit. I miss my old free parking with my old pass. Anyway, I want to add that I personally don't really cover Disney Vacation Club, DVC, and I'm not personally a DVC member, so I just kind of touch on it as a traditional guest, like someone who can book those rooms externally but isn't really in the system. So that's why I think it's really interesting to hear this perspective both from a local annual pass holder and from a DVC member. If anyone else has any thoughts they want to share, keep them coming because I think this is really, really interesting. And it's not something that we really get to verbalize outside of maybe a random tweet that someone sends if you happen to be on Twitter or if you're in an annual pass holders Facebook group, things like that. I appreciate everyone's perspective who listens to this podcast. If you agree, if you don't agree, if you're like, I'm going to keep going, I don't care. I don't care how much money it costs, which I feel like we all do agree with, even if we don't want to admit it, yours truly included. I'm really thankful for these calls, even if they're not questions, they are observations. I really like them and I thank you for them. And I hope to hear more of them soon because things are changing a lot year over year and we've all seen it. If you've seen the Bellevue Inn remodel and Boardwalk Inn that debuted this week, not every, I love change, but not all changes are great. So I appreciate this input and thank you so much for calling.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
Thank you all so much for listening, and a very special thank you to John Stamos for pitying the woman who sat next to him on an airplane and thus engaging in a 2-hour-long Zoom with her. Big Shot Season 2 is out today, the day you are listening to this podcast. If you are listening, the day it drops. So be sure to tune in on Disney Plus to watch each and every episode. The show is wonderful, John is great in it, and you will absolutely love it. Be sure to follow John at John Stamos on Twitter and Instagram, and absolutely check out his wife, Caitlin, who appeared in this episode at Caitlin Skybound on Instagram, and her wonderful podcast, How Can I Help? Don't miss the second half of this John Stamos interview, y'all. Rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow on Spotify. Follow is like their term for subscribe, I guess. I would say subscribe, they say follow. Either way, be sure to do that so that you are alerted the exact moment next week's episode drops, because you get a little hint before it's actually public. I think the subscribers get it first, so, you know, and it's all free. It's all completely free, so why not? You can give us a call any time of day or night at 747-CHURROS. You can also send us a voice note to 747-CHURROS, just text it over, or email it to 747churros@gmail.com. Any question you have about anything John said, any Disney stuff, any park planning tips, anything about Universal Orlando Resort, truly anything, give me a call and I will do my very, very best to answer you. And yes, as a reminder, we do have another Churros Hotline exclusive episode coming in the next few weeks, so keep those calls coming. We have plenty for that episode, but there's always room for more. It's like our haunted mansion, but without any dark spirits. Just helpful replies. You can get Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com. We recently released our kids' clothes with little puffy logos on them. I wear the merch almost every day, not to advertise the podcast, just because I designed the wardrobe I want to live in, so it's up to my high-quality standards, and so I think you'll like it as well. Follow me at Carly Wiesel on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, where I posted a very tiny video about how I like to dunk Cheesecake Factory brown bread into a one particular salad dressing, and the video has gotten a lot of people looking at it, which I did not expect. TikTok is weird. Otherwise, you can find me most of the time at the Fomaly on Facebook.com/groups/Carly Wiesel. This episode was edited indefatigably by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. This is your mom who never sleeps. This was such a great episode. I love the Churros Hotline questions. They're always fun, and they always have such great questions. I did want to touch very briefly this time. I'm not going to go into detail, but you gave great hotel safety talk. I really like that. I've taught you well, but I'm not going to comment on that since I overdid it last time. Talking about the popcorn, yes, I think I like the maple the best. I'm sorry to disagree with you, but caramel corn's really good and always good, but maple was so good. I really loved it. So next time we go, that's what I'm getting for sure. I did love the caller that called you the queen of hoop-de-doo. I think that's your new title. You have to add that to your resume. That is awesome. And when we were talking about the Regal Eagle Smokehouse, it was like a sauna. We were eating hot barbecue. It felt like 200 degrees, and your back was the one that was facing the smoker. I went on the other side. I'm so glad. But it was good. It was delicious, and it was a lot of fun. And Disney Springs, you mentioned there's a lot of really good restaurants, and, of course, I have to agree with you. My favorite is Wine Bar George. It is always delicious. It is so good. Everything on the menu is fabulous. And this was a very fun, informative, very amusing hotline episode. And if I could rate you every week, I would give you 5 stars because I really enjoyed it. Very excited because in 3 days I will see you. I am so excited. I cannot wait. So I love you and I will see you very, very soon. I love you so much. Bye.